British lawmakers gathered here this week to denounce the Russian annexation of Crimea. Foreign Secretary William Hague described it as this century's most serious test of European security.
No amount of sham and perverse democratic process or skewed historical references can make up for the fact that this is an incursion into a sovereign state and a land grab of part of its territory with no respect for the law of that country or for international law.
Most British lawmakers approved the targeted sanctions against Russian and Crimean politicians and officials. But one former Foreign Secretary, Sir Malcolm Rifkind, dismissed the first set of sanctions as ineffectual.
The measures announced so far by both the United States and the European Union on visa controls and asset freezes for individuals, I say with great sadness that is a pathetic and feeble response.
Very few here are calling for full-blown economic sanctions. Russia is simply too big a trading partner for Europe. But Pulitzer Prize-winning author and expert on Eastern Europe, Anne Applebaum, says much tougher, smart sanctions make perfect sense, and Britain is best placed to wield this weapon. Key members of the Russian elite are vulnerable.
They own homes in London. Their children go to school in London, so they're very dependent on their ties, especially to London, but also to other European capitals.
The man who runs this investment house in London knows more about the mechanics of smart sanctions than most. Bill Browder was once the biggest foreign investor in Russia, but he fell foul of the Kremlin after exposing corruption. His lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky, was later detained in Moscow and died in prison. Browder lobbied for the US Magnitsky Act. So far, it's hit more than a dozen Russian officials with asset freezes and visa bans. Browder argues the act should now be widened, deepened, and fully implemented in Europe.
These people who are committing these crimes, the people who are invading Ukraine, the people who killed Sergei Magnitsky, can be singled out and sanctioned individually, where you don't have to affect the Russian people, because the Russian people have done nothing wrong. They're being smothered by an evil dictator.
And he argues the list of targeted individuals should not only cover members of Putin's inner circle, it should include Putin himself.
He has lots of assets in the UK and assets in Germany and the assets in France and various other places.
But what? Can you identify any of them?
It's not been my business to go around and identifying Putin's assets, and I'm sure there are intelligence agencies that have plenty of information about what Putin owns where.
Putin's true net worth has not been published. Some estimates suggest it could be as much as $70 billion. And here's the problem. The Russian leader and his oligarchs own so much, freezing it all is going to be pretty disruptive. Take Chelsea Football Club, now owned by one of Putin's closest associates, Roman Abramovich. It just goes to show, admits Anne Applebaum, how dependent London has become on Russian money.
There are many different kinds of people in London, from real estate brokers to art dealers, who effectively live off Russian money. And the UK's independence, its ability to restrict or control Russian money, is limited by these kinds of links.
Some British lawmakers say it's time for London to clean house. In Parliament this week, a former cabinet minister, Ben Bradshaw, said that Britain should enforce its own laws against bribery, corruption and money laundering.
Russia's own central bank has estimated that two-thirds of the Russian assets and money in London is from the proceeds of crime and corruption.
And another former minister, Ian Austin, said Britain would be doing the Russian people a favour by cracking down hard on the kleptocrats who bought property in Britain.
I think we should change the locks on their fancy apartments in Kensington, board up the mansions they bought in the home counties and empty their bank accounts to show them that the West won't tolerate the sort of brutality and corruption that passes for government and business in Putin's Russia.
But this would slam British policy into reverse. Over the past 5 years, the UK has provided a home and financial haven for more than 400 multi-millionaire Russians. The British government's even been talking about selling visas to the highest bidders. Alexander Nekrasov, a former advisor to the Kremlin, now living in London, says the UK just won't get serious about targeted sanctions.
Britain will never, never in the world target Russian oligarchs who provide billions and billions of dollars to the economy So it's very hard to see how it can influence Russia's policy in Ukraine.
Everything depends on Putin's next move. A deeper incursion into Ukraine could change everything and might even persuade the UK to limit the attractions of London as a haven for Russian money. Stephen Beard, Deutsche Welle Radio, London.